This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
The details behind the Diddy indictment. Taylor Swift's stalkers. Jerry Lee trying to kill Elvis. Disgraceland dives into the dark side of entertainment every Tuesday. Follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Let's go! One on three! One, two, three!
You're listening to the best of the Dolphins.
Y'all, y'all, boys, man. Keep hands on two. One, two,
a weekly mix of AM 560 Sports, WQAM's best NFL talk to get you ready for game day.
Mike Cugno is on the Toyota of Hollywood hotline. You saw him on CBS4 last night. I mean, you see him on CBS4 almost every night, and he hosts Dolphins Weekly Live, and you see him nationally on CBS Sports HQ. I watched the entire postgame show last night with Cugno and John Congemi and a sad Kim Bocamper in the bowels of the stadium. So, Cugno, we learned today that Chris Greer has been relieved of his duty. I'm sorry, Chris Greer mutually agreed to be relieved of his duties, whatever that means. What do you make of what transpired from last night to today when we heard the news?
Well, let me just say this. It feels like every single week, at least the weeks that came with a loss, it felt like everyone was kind of on standby. Like, what's going to happen? Who's going to get fired? Is someone going to get fired? And it finally happened tonight. And last night, I think, was one of those nights where you're just like, it wasn't even like when the second half happened and the Ravens ate up most of the third quarter on that first drive and really just kind of put the game out of reach there, not only by the points, but just now the clock was working against the Dolphins. Everything was snowballing. The Taj Washington fumble, the penalty, then the miss kicked, you know, like it all started to snowball and you could feel it in the stadium that when one mistake happened, it started to compound. And I think this was just kind of coming. It was just, at what point was it coming? And who I don't want to say fall guy, but who was going to be, I guess, the first domino to fall. And now we have Chris Greer out. And you know what? Owner Stephen Ross said it last year. You know, the status quo couldn't stay the same. And here we are. The status quo was the same. They were literally 2-6 a year ago. They made a little bit of a run, but to be 2-6 again, 12 months later, that's where the change came.
And Mike, talking about the dominoes, Like, were they already lined up when anything went wrong? Because not scoring in the second half, embarrassing, you know, pre-snap penalties, having to call two timeouts when you're down in the third quarter because Tanner Connor is blind. I don't know what the hell's wrong with him. Like, it didn't look like.
Why are you harping on Tanner Connor? Out of all the things that have gone wrong this season, Tanner Connor.
He's got tight end PTSD.
Oh, that's true. Yeah, it's tight end PTSD.
I hear Tua yell on TV, "This side, Tanner. This side, Tanner. Get lined up, boy." But, like, I didn't look at that game and say, "Oh, this Chris Greer doesn't know what he's doing." Like, were the dominoes already lined up? If somebody was going to go, Chris Greer was going to go.
Yeah, so people always come up to me and they're like, "Are they firing McDaniel? Are they benching?" I'm like, "What are you accomplishing at this point of the season? Firing the head coach or benching the quarterback? Then you're just punting on everything, right? Like you've admitted that you don't care about the next half of the season. You can't do that as an organization." But I just think. I think just everything kind of coming to a head. You just look at the contracts that look, and credit Chris Greer, because there was a year he went for it, and he really went for it. When you bring in Armstead, Ramsey, Tyreek Hill, you kind of put all your eggs in the basket. They went for it. Some of these contracts didn't end up working out, and now you're kind of saddled with them. I think in the domino to me is looking at, okay, where are we as a team? Is there a light at the end of the tunnel? Is this just growing pains? No, because some of these contracts are going to be prohibitive going forward, and now you're going to have to work around it. Whoever the next guy is in terms of the general manager is going to have his hands full in terms of doing some sort of salary cap gymnastics, or you better be like the best scout ever and find guys like who can play like at a pretty decent pay rate. This is going to be a tough, like, if I'm out there, like, let's say there is a change at coaching, and I don't know if there will be, but if there is one, I look at that and I go, I'd want to be a coach down in Miami because I could attract free agents down to South Florida and all that stuff. If you're a GM, how attractive does the job become because of where they are with some of these big contracts and what they're going to have to do? This is going to be a tough job. It's going to be a big test for whoever the next guy is.
What do you think was or had the most important impact on Ross finally pulling the trigger on the move, Cuño? I know you mentioned the record, and maybe that's what it is. But yeah. I think also the game yesterday, again, the Dolphins, the talent gap, as you're mentioning the roster, was just so clearly the gap had it narrowed from a couple seasons ago when in 2023 you got blown out in Baltimore. But what about the fan base? You had people wearing brown paper bags on them again yesterday. You have now on social media a lot of fans claiming that they're canceling their season tickets, proving that with screenshots of the cancellation, you've had the banners. Like, I wonder, was yesterday the final straw? Stephen Ross looking down, they don't score a touchdown, and he sees more Ravens fans than Dolphins fans. I wonder if that's what finally was like him saying, that's it, something has to be done.
I think you hit the nail right on the head. So to me, it's like, yes, you look at all the football stuff, right? Obviously the record and what they have in terms of the future of their team and the contracts and everything. But as an owner, you're in the building and you're watching. And there was I kept saying to Kajemi last night, I was like, it's a lot of dark jerseys. Are these the new, rivalry jerseys? Like, that was trying to figure out, because the last time we had a primetime game, that's what, but then you look and it's just 8, 8, 8, 22. You know, like, it's a lot. There was a lot of Ravens fans in there. And then to, I think, see that, hear that post game, there was what looked like more than a few hundred Raven fans that stayed behind for the Amazon post game with Lamar Jackson. They were very loud. You can probably hear them on our post game when Kenjemi and I were out there on the field. There was a lot of Ravens fans there. And then any shot you saw on the television screen was fans booing and saying things you couldn't repeat with audio. Like, it was, I think you're right. At some point, as an owner, he probably had to factor in.
Hey,
right?
You're wearing purple. You're wearing purple right now.
Purple's my favorite color. It's the color of royalty.
Yeah, it's the color of the Ravens.
What do you want from me?
I'm just telling you. I mean, if we're looking for clues here, they got the Dolphins post-game weekly guy wearing purple for the Ravens.
Crazy.
Your co-host here is some sort of werewolf or Shaggy Doo.
Yeah. I thought he was Little Red Riding Hood.
I'm the big bad wolf. Like, what don't you guys understand?
I thought Little Red Riding Hood needed electrolysis. I thought those number 8 jerseys were for Matthew Judon. You're saying they were for someone else?
They're the Matthew Judon jerseys if they come with the long sleeves, you know, like the long orange sleeves. Right. Then that's different.
Hey, Mike, you bring up the next GM, which I don't – Champ Kelly, he's been in the building. I just found out today since March he was some associate scouter or whatever the hell it was. Yeah. What can he really do before the trade deadline? Or is he expected to do anything? I was saying that Chris Greer came out and said he's not doing anything. So now Champ Kelly has to do something because he can't go along the same path that Chris Greer was going, who just got fired.
Well, is Champ Kelly, and I don't know, is he a serious candidate for this job? That would be my question, because if he is, then you – and maybe – you know, that's the thing. Like, if he's the GM or the future GM, then obviously Stephen Ross would be like, okay, start making your moves. But if he's not, how do you say yes without someone else signing off on this? Like, someone, like, any move I feel like has got to go up the chain of command here, because if you're just going to get rid of players that the next GM would want, what are we doing? What are you doing? It's almost like, I could imagine the Dolphins standing pat in terms of the trade deadline just to give whoever's next, okay, now you do what you have to do. But I could also see them being like, hey, get what you can get for guys. There's a lot of talent on this roster. You know, and Solana, you mentioned a talent disparity. I'll disagree with you a little bit there, only because that first half, the Dolphins clearly outplayed the Baltimore Ravens. That, like, aside from the couple mistakes that turned – I know that counts in football. Obviously, you can't theoretically beat someone like Mike McDaniel said his postgame, but man, they outgained them by more than 100 yards. They were inside the 35 four times. Like, had they been able to execute, that game could look a little different.
But Cuno, I think that kind of proves my point, in my opinion, which was the Dolphins outplayed them, had 100 more yards, and were still down 14-6, despite the Ravens being more talented, not playing their best brand of football. They still had the lead, you know, like,
but like, you know what I mean? But like, the defense, like, man, the defense nearly got that stop at the goal line. They took them to a fourth down. I mean, I'm just trying to find, like, there are, I think, little pockets of positivity.
No, I mean, it wasn't like there's good, in that there's first good half players. There's good players on the Dolphins, but the team top to bottom is super top heavy. We've talked about this a million times.
It doesn't work. Yeah. I think we've seen enough. Right. It just doesn't work for whatever reason. It may work on paper. Just whatever reason, it's not working. And I don't know. It's like I said earlier in the show. Chris Greer didn't call the fade in the end zone to Devon Achane. Like, that's not Chris Greer's fault. Someone called that but Chris Greer is the first domino to fall, like you said.
Fourth and two in the red zone, and, like, they lined up, and I said it out loud because I heard myself. I went, empty backfield. And I don't know what that play was.
Like, it was a terrible play.
I would rather to have gone to the line, looked at that, and been like, timeout. Let's just
naked boot. Naked boot. I've been calling for that naked boot. He would have waltzed into the end zone untouched if they ran that naked boot right there.
I was going to ask, who thinks faster, Tua or Hockman?
Oh, I could take Tua.
I got Hawk.
Yeah, I could take Tua.
Tua.
No, I'm fleet of foot. I got to tell you real quick, because we're out of time. So we're watching Cuno on the video feed, and he's jacked. I mean, the dude is jacked. Yesterday, my friend Todd is in town from Chicago, and we're watching the game at Funky Buddha. Me and Crowder and Todd's there and the Ticket Wizard. And so Todd only listens to the show on the podcast, the audio podcast. He doesn't see any of the video. So he kind of knows the players on the show. And he had told me after everyone had left and the game was over last night, he said he thought Appel, he had confused Appel for being Mike Cuno. And he said, that's the guy who you're always talking about who's in great shape. And I said, no, that's Josh Appel. I go, Mike Cuno from CBS4 is the one who's in great shape. And Todd said, oh, well, that makes more sense, because Appel doesn't look like he avoids French fries.
Nah, Appel sneak up on you. You know what I mean? He's got like farmer strength.
He ain't sneaking up on nothing.
He's sneaking up on your leftovers.
Yeah. Well, get used to all of it, or remember what this looks like, because I owe President Joe from UM two donuts last week.
Two donuts.
and I will see if I have two. And I haven't eaten them yet, so I'm behind.
Are you going to allow your child to get candy tonight for Halloween? Is candy allowed in the Cuño household?
You
still got to walk them around and get candy.
Oh,
she can receive the candy, and then we'll have a lesson in the food pyramid after in terms of what and how much she can actually eat. And then we'll throw it all out, and then we'll say next year you'll be
the worst. He's the worst. What will you sneak a bite of? There's some Halloween candy where even Cuño goes, you know what? As in shape and with every calorie I watch, I gotta have one of these.
Sour Patch Kids. That's about it. Yeah.
Zero
yeah.
grams of fat.
I like, right. I like zero grams of fat.
You knew it wasn't going to be like a Whopper or a Butterfinger.
It's just filled with carbs, which he'll burn off anyway to the one workout. Yeah. You're so predictable, Cuño.
Bro, let me tell you something. Haribos, like gummy bears, those are good post-workout. If you want to process all the carbs you did after a workout, like that's, you want to talk about gains. Have a little bag of...
He's every TikTok gym bro on TikTok. By the way, Cuño... I know you found the perfect lighting wherever you parked. We see right through you.
He looks good, man. You don't need lighting when you look that good. Like, he just genuinely looks good, but he takes care of himself.
I radiate, Solana.
He does.
That's what it is,
he does. See you, Cuño. We got to go.
I'm glowing.
He is. He is glowing. All right. We'll see you, Cuño. Thank you. Mike Cuño from CBS 4 on this very important day.
104.3 WQAM. So Chris Greer is out as Miami Dolphins GM. So the other part of it, Leroy, Adam Schefter, we'll be quick on this one so we make sure we can get to the 1 o'clock hour somewhat on time. But Adam Schefter said that Mike McDaniel is going to remain the Miami Dolphins head coach through the end of the season, at least. Now, the words at least make me a little uneasy. I'm okay running through the remainder of the year. But, like, we talked about this with Omar in the back nine. Like, I want, if you hire, assuming you hire a new GM that everyone's going to be really excited about, give that person the power to bring in their own coach if that's what they want.
Yeah, I think this is just decisions that are being made right now.
Yeah.
But, like, there's probably more in-depth and detailed stuff that will probably happen as the season goes on. And I think that's just where he is right now, right? I don't really think he wanted to do anything with Chris Greer.
Nope.
Right? But it just got to a point where, like, you got to do something. There's a lot of things, like, I would say when you give up a lot of assets to get players – and those players don't produce for whatever reason, then that's not a good trade. And that means now you've given up assets and money to players who aren't producing. So regardless of what people think, that to me determines a good trade. Okay? When you traded for Jalen Ramsey and he was D'ing up and he was balling out, okay, all right, I can deal with that. That's pretty good. But guess what? Now he ain't on your team, and the assets you gave up for him are gone. Then how good of a trade was that? I need, for a trade to work, I need one or the other. I need the player or my damn pick. But I can't end up at the end of the trade with neither.
That's right.
And so that's just basically how that goes. Now, the other thing is that, like, it's a big deal to me that they signed so many injured players.
Yeah.
And
it's been one of my chief complaints for the Greer
era. To then turn around and complain when a guy is hurt. Right? Like, so, it's a tough job, right? But a lot of it was Chris Greer's own doing. For whatever reason, right? So now, if you're a fan, I couldn't look forward to my picks. The guy we got was injured, right? And now we got to wait another 2 years before we have a first round pick or whenever, right? That, like, that's no fun.
No.
Right? And then for whatever reason, right, you drafted Tua instead of Herbert. Now, I'm not, like, that's a preference. So,
yeah.
If that doesn't
and also,
work.
Tua was injured, which is worth noting.
Which is the
as
only
soon as
problem.
Saw, wait, you're telling me he's coming off hip surgery? He's ours.
Right. Which is the only problem I had with deciding between Tua and Herbert. That I said then, yeah. And I'll say it now. If I have a choice, I will take a healthy player. I don't care how good the injured player is. Simply because if you're rebuilding, I don't have time for rehab. I need a guy to hit the ground running. It's simple as that. So yeah. I don't know why does this seem so difficult for teams to be able to figure out. Hey, I need all my assets on the field. Right? If I draft them, I need to do everything I can to keep them. And then we build that way. It's not right. Like who you draft, that has to do with player personnel and being able to select talent. Right? But how you pick players or how you acquire talent, that's the part that has this team right now in a bind. Because how they have procured talent and the assets and the monies that they gave up to get that talent, they're not only not getting the talent, but now they're out the money or the asset. That's the problem with all of this.
For sure. Well, when we come back, start the 1 o'clock hour, Vlad, can we open up the phone lines when we come back and do, we'll do open phones for the 1 p.m. hour. If you want to get in, 305-567-0560.
Don't curse.
5670560.
Yeah, come on now.
Don't curse. Seriously, don't curse.
Oh, yeah, please don't curse. Yeah, please. You want to react to Chris Greer? Do it in the PG way if you can. 1 o'clock hour, Tobin and Leroy coming your way next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Whatever happens today, plan to conquer it with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. True North Convenience Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. Our brew is truly perfect for any time of the day. During October and November, enter for a chance to win free coffee for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or find the mobile app in your favorite app store. Offer valid 10/7 through 12/1. True Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building
a life. For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at brag-worthy prices. At your DSW store or DSW.com.
The details behind the Diddy indictment. Taylor Swift's stalkers. Jerry Lee trying to kill Elvis. Disgraceland dives into the dark side of entertainment every Tuesday. Follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Next.
I personally, you want to dictate the terms, you want to fix stuff, and yeah, it sucks. That sucks. All of that does. But you know, I think it's a pretty consistent formula of, you know, fans enjoy winning. And so our expectation is that we have to do the work and do the right things for fans to enjoy the experience. And unfortunately, we didn't do that tonight. So we got to get back to work to give them something to cheer about.
The fourth and one where Larry Borum was called for the false start, what was your understanding of what happened there as far as to
I would say out? I would say with the Ravens fans, it maybe got a little muffled with my cadence and you know, the crowd noise. So, you know, we kind of talked about that on the sideline after and got that corrected.
Mike McDaniel and Tua Tagovailoa there after the Dolphins 28-6 loss. It is time to head out to the Toyota of Hollywood Hotline Shop. Over 2,000 Toyotas on sale at one location. Toyota of Hollywood on 441 between Hollywood and Sheridan. ToyotaOfHollywood.com. Some scary comments there, Joe.
Maybe,
Halloween.
Maybe if we played better, then so many guys wouldn't be giving their tickets. So many fans wouldn't be selling their tickets to Raven fans. Maybe if we were playing better and fans weren't so pissed off, then we could do it, man. That might help the situation. You could hear for home games. You could hear better. All right. Hey, Omar Kelly, Miami Herald Dolphins columnist, joins us this morning. Omar, new ways to lose. Big numbers.
Not really.
Well,
not
you really. Don't think so? I do. Besides the turnovers.
They beat themselves. I mean, they've been beating themselves consistently all season. So, we've only seen really one game where they weren't trying to beat themselves. And then the Jets win. I think Mike said earlier this week it wasn't really a convincing win. They didn't play all together or play their best. But, you know, this is typical on brand for what they've been doing all season, which, you know, I now term the organic tank.
Let me ask you, we're halfway through, and as you said, we're still making a lot of the same mistakes, same things going on, and we're talking about plays being called back or getting ready to kick or, you know, going for it, and then somebody jumps offside. These are things that we've seen big numbers, and we aren't able to capitalize after having 226 yards of offense in the first half, and all you get is two field goals. And then I got to ask you, this one's driving me nuts. What do we do at halftime that we are so bad in all these third quarters? What happens? What do you think goes on there?
The defense, without a doubt, came out flat. Not that I'm blaming them for this loss, because, you know, it really was on the offense because they couldn't get anything done. But this team was really just in their way. But, I mean, they just laid down in the third quarter when they started and allowed the Ravens, I believe, to score two drives that really just put the game away. And I say this all the time. When you take out the running element out of this offense, Tua Tagovailoa is playing with one hand tied behind his back because he is a play action based quarterback. You have to have the deception of the fake, otherwise it's complete waste. And sadly enough, that's what happened. The Ravens were able to build a lead. Just my biggest issue was the fourth and two. That play where you literally could have pulled yourself within 1 point going into the half. You know, and I wrote a column about this. You throw a fade to Devon Achane.
Yeah, I didn't get
like,
it.
When it
did not
when
get it.
And I get it. I after talking to Mike and talking to Devon, he was not the primary on that play. And somebody, whoever is the primary, ran the wrong route. And Tua was basically throwing it wherever, you know, throwing it, just basically trying to throw it to a wish and a prayer to Devon. But Devon is 5'8".
Yeah,
like he's defended by Kyle Hamilton.
Who's six foot four. Right.
What are you doing? Like, for that to be the play you call, when is the last time Mike McDaniel's team ran a fade that was successful?
Yeah. Been a while. Hey, just to follow up to what you just said, so what goes on at practice all week? The guys still run the wrong routes. Guys still don't know where to line up. We could hear Tua going, telling Tanner, come in here. No. Wash, go out wide. Yeah, go motion, come on in. I'm like, what do we do all week? This should not be going on in week 9.
Well, this week, not fair, even though the Ravens had the same issues. This week, you were playing a Thursday night game. You don't get to practice. You get two walkthroughs. That is standard in the NFL. They do not practice on a Thursday night game. Unless you got a bye week the previous week, you're not practicing on a Thursday night game. You're just doing a ton of walkthroughs. But to me, in my mind, in those situations, wouldn't you, Joe, and maybe you can help me out with that, wouldn't you lean on what you do well?
Yes.
And instead of implementing new plays into the offense?
Now you're talking about the 80s. Right there. You just hit it. We didn't throw in a whole bunch of new stuff. We just, what we ran, we were really good at, and we had dudes that were really good at it. It didn't matter. And, of course, across the board, I've said this so much, people are getting tired of it. But, yeah, instead of putting in all this new stuff, and guys are like, I don't know, is Mike's – I feel like guys are having trouble. I'm being nice about this.
Absolutely. No,
comprehending what he wants to do every week.
Yes, it's but this has been consistent throughout the 4 years. They run a very complex offense, especially the motions and shifts and adjustments.
Get some really smart dudes in, please.
But Joe, think about this for a second and really think about this. What is their best offensive package right now without Tyreek, without Darren Waller, and hell, going to the game, play the second half without Ollie Gordon? What is their best offensive package?
Well, I was going to say, I like the two running backs being out there together. I like the speed.
Yeah,
but
that wasn't available to you in the second half.
No, he got hurt. You're right. So I'm not sure where you're going.
The jumbo package is their best offensive package. Six offensive linemen. They really can't do anything.
Run skill out there, which he was a lot last night. Yeah.
Six offensive line. So literally, you're saying to the rest of the NFL, or saying to your fan base, or saying to your team, we are better off when we only have four options for Tua and an extra protector because we can't protect our quarterback. And we'll sacrifice an option. And sometimes they keep an extra guy in, so Tua's got like three outlets. They are just a bad team, Joe.
So we got limited quarterback. You'd agree with that on things, right?
Yeah. No, I mean,
Well, you've seen some guys come in town, including the guy last night that danced around in the pocket. I could tell he really didn't want to run, or he could have run for 50 yards.
No, he absolutely did not want to run. I don't know if he could run, to be honest with you.
Well, he ran once, and it was pretty good. I mean, he never looked like his old self, but he got enough to go.
Yeah, I mean, but what game have you ever seen Lamar Jackson run 2.8 yards per carry?
Never. I've seen him run 70 yards to fake it, and the X-Man couldn't catch him. In Baltimore, that play.
Yeah, he was clearly limited by the hamstring injury, and which is fine. A quarterback needs to play injured. And he's a leader of his team. I really think Baltimore's still going to win their division. I know they've got a sucky record, but they play a month without Lamar Jackson. Most teams to play without their starting quarterback would struggle, but I don't even. I think that this team would have beat Miami with Tyler Huntley as a quarterback, and we know exactly who Tyler Huntley is. So that means we know exactly who the Dolphins are.
I didn't really think about it that way, but I get what you're saying. I just so I got to ask you one more, and this is not a big deal. I want to start with this. So there's 1 second left in the half, and they decide, which I have no problem. Let's throw it in the end zone,
and
he takes a sack. You know why he took a sack? He took a sack because he knew or was afraid. He looked and goes, I can't throw it in the end zone. Why does he not throw it? Even if you're getting pressure, you throw it up high and you throw it early and let your guys get up, the three guys running together down the right side of the field, let them go up and get it instead of – because if you're going to do that, I don't want my quarterback to take another sack and just – the way he went down.
Yeah. I mean, he laid down to take that sack. It didn't. None of it made sense. I would have to see the coach's film to see if there are any options or outlets or reads or we know who Tua is. I mean, on the Waddle play that got called back, he threw the ball 45 yards in the air. I think Tua's longest throw would probably be 50. Maybe he could get to 55 if he really stepped into it.
He used to.
Yeah, I mean, it's you know.
I know you defend him, and I'm not sitting here just blaming the guy. I'm not.
No,
we
know who he is as a quarterback. We know he's not a strong arm quarterback. We know he's told do not run.
Right.
Okay, we got some limitations.
Well, he
but
can't
people
run.
Will tell you.
Yeah.
He can run. Hold on. He can run.
What do you mean
he
run?
He's not.
You know why he slides? He slides because he can't get to 10 yards. He gets to 5 or 6, and he's getting ready to take a hit, and he slides. That's what they want him to do. I agree with you.
They do not want him to take a hit. He has been instructed, do not take a hit.
I agree.
But here's my bigger problem with the offense, and this is the team that Chris Greer built. Yes, you're down Darren Waller. Yes, you're down Julian Hill. Yes, you're down Tyreek Hill. Who's stepping up offensively? How many times can you target Devon Achane? It's like a bad habit now.
We're like, oh, pressure. Devon out in the flat. Stoach.
On the fourth and two where they throw a fade to Devon Achane, you know he ran the ball 3 times.
Yeah. I didn't realize that, but okay. Yeah.
Like, why? What do we have no other options? He ran the ball 3 times, and then that's my problem, because the primary on this pass that ended up being a fade, he's running the wrong route. So, Joe, let me ask you a question. How many times per game are players lining up wrong?
Boy, a lot.
And players running the wrong route?
I don't know about that part, but the first part I can tell by the way he's got his hands rolling, go here,
yeah.
You line up on the other side, you're on the wrong side. Hey,
yeah,
you're not in on this package.
You got to first drive, yeah. Because Tanner Connor didn't know where to line up. And, like, what are we doing here? Like, really, what are we doing?
Well,
there's nothing offensively that, you know, Nick Westbrook-Ikhine, I'm not even sure – Tua knows his real name. Like, he probably just knows him as NWI. He has no relationship with this guy.
Well, he's got certain guys he's not confident, real comfortable throwing to. And we saw this before and with different guys that have been here. And out of habit, he goes to certain guys when it doesn't look good, going, well, I know that guy's my best player. And I don't care if he's 5'9", 190 pounds. I'm going with that guy. Hey, by the way, before I forget, trade deadline coming up Tuesday. I had a chance to talk to Bradley Chubb last night before the game, and what do you think happens? Do they move anybody? What's going to be? It's got to come from the top. I mean, Chris Greer's not doing anything without Stephen Ross telling him he can.
That's true. But if you're Stephen Ross, you say, wouldn't you say sell it all? So get what you can. Bradley Chubb's not going to be here, and so he's going to be cut. Cutting him saves you $20 million in cap space. You need that money. The man took a $17 million pay cut this year to stay here in Miami. What do you think you're doing him any favors keeping him here?
Yeah.
Like, go get something for him. Now, Jalen Phillips is a little bit different situation. If you're not offering a fourth or better, I'm not moving him.
Okay.
But he's a unrestricted free agent at the end of the season because you're not tagging him. You're not paying him $24 million.
No.
So if you want him, you could trade him now and re-sign him, like, if you want. But, you know, it's just sell it. It's a bad situation. You should be a seller at this point.
Does the head coach and GM make it the rest of the season?
Organically tanking, Joe? Yes.
Okay. You might be right. I mean, you.
What's the point? am I gonna fire Mike and the team's all of a sudden gonna be playing better?
So can I just tell you the only problem, they continue to play like this, your fan base, and you're gonna
be empty. The fan base is gone. The fan base is done. They've been done before. They've been done like week 3. Fan base is done. They're not coming back. And to, you know, I know people will be like, oh, Tua shouldn't have said that. But, yeah, I was a little surprised that the crowd was loud, if not louder for the Ravens than they were for the Dolphins. But I've been on the road where it's been the opposite situation, and the Dolphins have the home crowd. When have I gone to the Chargers game where the Dolphins didn't have the home crowd? Is it disappointing? Yes. You shouldn't have crowd noise in a home.
What do you think it's going to be like for Baltimore? What do you think Buffalo's going to be like?
Buffalo, they probably planned that trip for the whole Buffalo, didn't they, last year where the Bills
They brought a lot of fans, man, and the better this team's got, they're bringing more. The old fans that left stopped coming, they're coming back again
Hey, this is a great trip to Miami. You're going to be in South Florida, leave Buffalo to be in South Florida and get to see a win? Like, are you kidding me? This has got to be the trip they circled on the Buffalo schedule.
Omar, one more question. Is Tua back just because of his contract and next year, no matter who the quarterback is he back as the starting quarterback next year?
Absolutely, because you're not going to eat that salary. You're not going to do what you did with Russell.
By the way,
Wilson.
I agree. No, I'm with you. You and I, there's not a lot of people with us, but I've been saying the same thing.
You're not going to eat that salary. Yeah. Tua's not a horrible quarterback. Tua's a lot better than what you had for the last 25 years. But, you know, right now, and I know everybody's going to put all the blame on Tua. Tua's at fault for everything. But this team is horrible. Tell me one aspect of the team that's good.
No, it's not a very good roster. No, it's not a very good roster. It's not.
Would I want to get out of here if I was Tua? Probably.
You better be careful, because I know how many places he can play.
He can play in domes. That's it.
Well, domes don't play all games in domes. Dome teams, they got to go to cold weather and windy weather, too, and it rains.
Not really. Yeah. If you play for the Saints, you're kind of protected, insulated. A lot of
you think anybody wants to pick that big salary up and take Tua?
I know
I don't.
For a fact.
I don't believe. I don't. I what? Teams,
I know for a fact that owners mean in last year. Teams have interest in Tua. Now, will they now because of how he's played and because of how the salary balloons and maybe their situation got solved at quarterback? Yeah, but there are teams that were interested in
Tua. How can you tell me he missed six games because of a hip and a concussion that you think teams wanted him to be the quarterback after that, knowing he's one hit away from never getting a chance to play? What is that?
A lot of teams had a worse quarterback situation, Joe.
But that's a bad one. That's not even physical. That's one hit. That's going to happen. You're going to get hit unless you play the way he's playing now. Getting rid of
him
quickly.
I mean,
all right. Anyway, we just disagree. All right.
No, he's not a bad quarterback. Nobody's going to sit there and tell you he's a bad quarterback.
I didn't say he's bad. I didn't say he's bad. No.
Is he the answer? No. But is he a bad quarterback? No.
All right. Hey, listen, man, I appreciate it. Thanks, Omar. I kept you way too long, and I know you're working on very little sleep, so thank you.
All right. Talk to you later, Joe.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Whatever happens today, plan to conquer it with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. True North Convenience Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. Our brew is truly perfect for any time of the day. During October and November, enter for a chance to win free coffee for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or find the mobile app in your favorite app store. Offer valid 10/7 through 12/1. True Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Holiday PSA from DSW. This is your reminder that shoes are a gift, literally. So unwrap something good, like boots that inspire your next big adventure, or cozy slippers that give you an excuse to stay in, or sneakers that feel like pure joy. Because shoes aren't just shoes, they're exactly what you wanted. Let us surprise you so you can surprise them. Find shoes that get you and everyone on your list at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or DSW.com.
The details behind the Diddy indictment. Taylor Swift's stalkers. Jerry Lee trying to kill Elvis.
Disgraceland dives into the dark side of entertainment every Tuesday. Follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I thought if they made an in-season change, it would probably be McDaniel, especially now you've essentially got, what, 3-4 extra days, you know, for a interim head coach to come in and get ready for the Buffalo game. It's got to be the weirdest vibe around that facility where you're in the mid, what are they, 2-7?
2-7, yes. Yeah,
2-7. You're in the midst of just a brutally awful season. You just got embarrassed on national TV. Your losses this year, the majority of them, have been embarrassing losses. And now the general manager is gone. The trade deadline's coming up. You've got to assume Mike McDaniel has to feel or appear as dead man walking. Like, it has to be one of the strangest vibes that a team could ever go through. This is a season unlike most professional athletes probably will ever experience.
I'll tell you, the young dudes like Kenneth Grant and all them, they don't know what the hell. Like, they can't see the tea leaves. They don't know McDaniel's getting fired. Like, they just, this is the NFL. It's crazy. This NFL stuff's nuts, man. These people are crazy. Because a lot of them were successful in college and high school and all. The old guys know. The old guys are walking around uncomfortable because they're like, yeah. And some of them been through it already. Yeah, these boy, it's going to be about 80 of y'all here next year if y'all don't see this on the wall. The funny thing, though, with getting rid of Chris Greer, and you're right, and we've been through it, these draft picks and the first round with Austin Jackson, Tua, Noah Igbinoghene, like, we've been through the names. Tyler Warren, you bring up OG. Mason Taylor, too, who's playing well for the Jets. Jason Taylor's son. You can bring up all the – we could have had Andre Johnson at one point. I remember that conversation when I first got on radio. There is zero immediate impact on firing a GM. There's no –
right.
There's no practice change. There's no schedule change. There's no offensive play call change. We're going to watch this same exact team, and the general manager's little nameplate is out of his door. I don't think you're going to see a change in this team because I do not remember seeing Rick Schmidt and Jeff Ireland and those guys. I didn't see them during the season. You'll see them once in the locker room after games. They have no immediate impact on what goes on the field or at practice.
But there is nothing you can do to this roster right now that brings about immediate change, Crowder. It's not like the team
is
3 years
away.
It's not like the team is 3-6, and like last season, they were 2-6, but you're getting your starting quarterback back. Maybe you fire a coach, and that kind of brings about, you know, a new intensity and new aggression. There's nothing you can do to this roster at this point that
this is a
does
statement.
Anything.
This is a statement fire. By the way, speaking of statements, here's the actual statement from Stephen Ross today. This morning, I made the decision, along with general manager Chris Greer, to mutually part ways. I have incredible respect for Chris and his family, and I want to thank him for his many contributions to the Miami Dolphins over the past 26 years. As I assessed the state of the team and in my discussions with Chris, it became clear to both of us that change could not wait. We must improve in 2025, 2026, and beyond, and it needs to start right now. Champ Kelly will serve as interim general manager effective immediately, and we will begin our search process for a new general manager. I want to thank Champ for stepping up and his commitment to the Dolphins' success this season. There is a lot of football left to play, and we all need to fight even harder. I have always been and remain committed to building a winning team that consistently competes for championships. I am incredibly proud of our leadership as an NFL organization and our continued commitment to the community, but our performance on the field and our team building process have not been good enough. There are no excuses. I want to thank the fans for their continued support and passion for this team. You deserve a championship-caliber team that you can be proud of. There's much work ahead to return the Dolphins to sustained success, and that work begins now. finishing the season strong, evaluating all areas of our football operation, and moving forward with a clear vision of the future.
Beautifully written. Now we got to see the new moves.
Yeah.
We got to see who that guy is, if it's Champ, if it's not. But I might not have worded it right. The fans that are thinking this is going to change anything, it just doesn't move needles for this season moving forward. That's what I'm saying. To answer your question, like you said, what change can you make? Let Frank Smith call the damn offense. Like, what difference is it going to make? What difference is it going to do? Like, change something on the field. That's what I'm getting after. Do something on the field. Change practice. Let somebody write the schedule. Let somebody do some damn walkthroughs so Tanner Connor knows what's going on. Just something to change what I've been seeing for the last couple of years.
You mentioned Tanner Connor again.
Did he do something to your family? Last time, I've heard a quarterback yell somebody's name that many times pre-snap. Tanner, no, Tanner, here.
He either turned down a Crowder Powder endorsement or a pivot interview.
Something. If this guy has something against Tanner Crowder.
Crowder, no joke, it doesn't matter. Like, okay, Frank Smith is calling the plays. So what? I don't see how that helps. I don't think the team has quit on Mike McDaniel. I'm not happy with Mike McDaniel. But I still don't think it's gotten to the point where the team has vividly, I don't know if you guys feel differently, but they've quit on Mike McDaniel. I don't think they've gotten to that point.
No, but don't you think that, like, if we're talking, because he's hung up on Tanner Connor, I am hung up on a goal line fade to 5'9 Devon Achane against 6'4 Kyle Hamilton.
But that wasn't the call, man.
You think that was Tua?
That was Tua Tagovailoa, 100%. I heard Mike McDaniel's post-game comments on that play.
Because they showed McDaniel after that play, and he looked... I thought he looked pissed at the way that the play played out.
Perplexed.
But maybe he was perplexed that was what Tua did.
I heard his comments after the game, and he didn't say that, but he was like, we're extremely confident in that situation, and that's clearly...
It is a ridiculous conversation to have with you wearing that mask.
But,
I mean, Crowder, in my opinion, going back to what you said, this is the message. Hey, roster, young guys, you want to be here next year? We just fired our general manager who picked you. So you want to be here next year? You want to be on an NFL roster, some of you, next season? Lock the F in. Because now you have a 9-week or 8-week tryout for another person that's making decisions. I think this had to be the move. I'm fine if they fire McDaniel too. I wouldn't be surprised if after Madrid, if it gets worse and worse, you lose the next two to Buffalo and then to Washington, you have a bye week in between. I wouldn't be surprised if that move is eventually made, despite reports that they're going to let him ride it out to the end of the season. But Crowder, this has to be the move. Hey, guys on the roster, the guy who selected you did not do a good job. You're not executing. You have 9 weeks to prove to me you belong on my team moving forward.
Yeah, no friends left. This is a performance-based business like it should be. The preparation, I don't know, to your point, son, I don't know if Frank Smith is much better than Mike McDaniel, but the preparation for Tua, whoever didn't, it's double on Hawks play, double problem with me. The guy that run the wrong route, why the hell did he not know what route to run? And then why did Tua's panic go to throw a fade to Devon Achane, who's 5'9"? Like, why isn't there another option in this play structure that Tua's not going to say, oh, he's not open, Devon Achane fade? Like, just big.
Or any other quarterback. I'm just going to do it with my feet. Any other quarterback. This isn't going the way I plan. I'm going to do it with my legs.
They already said, we've heard a lot of people say, they do not encourage him to take off. That's why the over-unders are 2.5.
Well, that's okay. Well, encourage him to throw more intentional groundings. When it looked like no one had taken the field yet.
What is he doing there?
That one is infuriating. If you haven't watched that one on social media, Tua and the intentional grounding, and how much space is there to his left, and I don't know what made him decide my best shot here is to just launch the ball into the ground. It was really, really staggering to watch.
The right side of the line does collapse, mm-hmm. and I mean, there's pass rushers getting him.
But you look to the left, there's no one. There's nothing but green.
Not only that, a quarterback rolls out to his left, and he can just chuck the ball into the stands, and it's not intentional.
Speaking
grounding.
About chucking the ball, how about the Hail Mary at the end of the first half when he took a sack? What was that?
I heard people saying it. And who was calling the game?
Herb Street and Al Michaels.
Herb Street. He said it. Like, he kind of joked about it, but he was like, you think Tua might not have thought he could make it that far?
That's exactly what it was. That's exactly what it was.
It was 50 yards. Hawk, you could throw 47 yards.
But who cares if you couldn't make it that far? Launch it to the five. Maybe you'll get a PI. Anything but taking a sack.
Well, can I present to you what I wrote down yesterday? Because it dawned on me watching that. If that's what the play is going to end up being.
Only if you wrote it down as lyrics.
If that's what the play is going to end up being. Because Tua knows he can't make that throw. Why not in that instance? Crowder, stick with me here.
Hook and lateral.
Bring in Zach Wilson. Bring in your backup quarterback for that, just for that play. 1 second left on the clock. Bring in the guy who can make that throw just for that one play.
Or bring in Jacoby Brissett and run it up the middle.
But no joke. Why not bring in the backup quarterback for that one play? In basketball, you have guys, when you're up one and the other team has the ball with 0.6 seconds left, all they can do is tip it in. And you've got Vlad Goldin, Michael Doliak, Jamal McGlure, who don't get on the court, but they have size and length. You bring them in for 0.6 seconds to defend the rim. That's all they do. Solana, why not bring in the quarterback who can make the throw 50 yards to the end zone so that you don't just take a sack there? What's the point?
I understand your thought process. I don't even have a problem with bringing in Jacoby Brissett to run quarterback sneaks because he weighs 30 pounds more than Tua, and he's big, he's long. He has a better chance of getting those 26 inches, whatever it is. I'm going to take out my $250 million quarterback on 50-yard passes or
right.
more?
Because he can't make the throw.
Well, then he shouldn't be your $250 million quarterback. But you can't acknowledge that on national TV. If it was a 70-yard pass, it's one thing. You're at midfield.
What are they hiding? Everybody knows. Even Al Michaels, who doesn't know what's going on, knows that that throw.
If you didn't know, you found out after he crumpled to the ground taking a sack.
I mean, what are we hiding him for?
He had plenty of time to launch a ball. He had plenty of time to launch a ball.
$250 million you commit to this guy, and we're still worried about how the optics look and the feelings? He can't make that throw. The Dolphins, 14-6 is the score. You have a chance to at least get lucky with a Hail Mary. He can't make the throw.
Get lucky with a PI and then kick a field goal.
You have somebody on the sideline who can make the throw. Bring him in for that one play. That's all I'm saying. Why not?
And you ask why is he still here? Because of last week. 4 touchdowns, 123 quarterback rating. And y'all know Tua's going to have some of those games this year, right? One of these next 3 games, he's going to go out there and have
4 touchdowns against Atlanta.
Yeah, 270, 3 touchdowns. He's going to have one of those games, and he's going to have one of these games.
That's got to be why Stephen Ross is so pissed.
Sure.
Man.
I mean, you watched last night. It was embarrassing. It was embarrassing. Yeah. Again, by the way. Again, let's do real quick headlines because Chris Perkins from the Sun Sentinel is going to join us, and he covers the Dolphins on a daily basis, so I'm interested to hear what he says. So very quick look at the headlines brought to you by Durrell Hyundai, home of the Pricito, our lowest price. Visit them at Durrell Hyundai or DurrellHyundai.com.
So the Dolphins' interim GM is Champ Kelly, who we learned was the assistant GM for the Las Vegas Raiders. He's been part of the NFL going back almost 20 years now, or exactly.
Somebody tweeted at me and said, Hawk, Champ Kelly was with the Bears when they drafted Trubisky and Fields. Don't allow him any trade power. Well, I don't have a say in the matter.
It's... Text in who you want us to bring in at GM. All your big acquisitions we could bring in. It's hard as hell to find a good GM.
Yeah, and you can't do anything during the season, even though, you know, Stephen Ross and his yachts, he'll find a way to meet with anybody. But you can't do anything. Literally. Like they can't poach anybody.
We got to hire a mover and shaker that's down with getting a little dirty. You know, that's what we need.
Lewis Riddick.
You saw he tweeted the eyes, the eye emojis.
Yeah, Lewis Riddick. Mm-hmm. I'm telling you.
Been reading the
pampering, not tampering. What is that? Let's be honest about
you've
it.
You've been reading the YouTube comments, I see, because there's a Lewis Riddick fandom that is.
Oh, there it is. Robert Higgins says Lewis Riddick. Yeah.
They want Lewis Riddick as GM and what's his name to be the head coach? The dude that was fired from Tampa for racist emails.
John Gruden. All right.
There you go. Fix the Dolphins.
Hmm. Chucky will bring some nasty to this team. Mm. He's going to cut about half the guys, though.
Stop it. Well, I'm seeing here Colin Coward wants Lane Kiffin. Go get Lane Kiffin. That's what the Dolphins should do, according to Colin Coward.
I wouldn't mind that. That'd be fun, at least.
It'd be fun. It reminds me so much of Cliff Kingsbury, though.
Yeah, totally. Totally.
Yeah.
Because Lane Kiffin had a run in the NFL. Wasn't it for the Raiders?
It might have been for the Raiders.
I think it was for the Raiders.
Yep, Raiders.
You know what? I think I'm the only one that's going to say this. Maybe I'll die on this hill, but I wouldn't mind Cliff Kingsbury. Went really bad for him in Arizona. I get that. But goes to Washington, turns Jaden Daniels in his rookie season into a Pro Bowl quarterback, goes to the NFC Championship game. I mean, isn't that what you do? You fail as a head coach, you go become a coordinator, you get another opportunity if it goes well for you as an OC. I wouldn't mind Cliff Kingsbury.
I have no problem with Cliff. I'm just think when you said that name, he had what's Itchy Bitchy Spider in Arizona? The quarterback.
Kyler Murray.
Yeah, Kyler Murray, who's very athletic. Then he went and got another very athletic Jaden Daniels. What kind of offense is Cliff gonna run with Tua in the pocket? He can't move.
Hear me out. Bill Parcells.
He was lazy 10 years ago, Hawk. What is he gonna do now?
Brian Flores would be so funny. It really would be hilarious if Brian Flores was brought back to be the head coach.
I think it would be really funny if Brian Flores, when he finds out it's John Gruden who sends racist emails. I want a camera on Brian Flores when he hears the announcement of John Gruden.
By the way, so much for this entire conspiracy theory that Ross would never fire Greer because Greer's got skeletons in the closet.
That was the dumbest thing people would go, oh, he would never fire Chris Greer until the Flores lawsuit is over. Yeah, okay. Yeah. Yeah, that's going
place. Dolphins Twitter told me he'll never fire Chris Greer. It's not going to happen. Trust me. I know. Okay.
Good Bill call. Cowher. Dave Wannstedt.
Hey.
Huh?
Man. Ollie Gore is going to be so tired.
Adam Gase 2.0.
No, hell no. No, no, no.
Cam Cameron.
I will punch you in the head. He might. The Dolphin thing ruined his football life. I don't think he coaches anymore.
Al Golden.
Mm-hmm. He's had a good run as OC.
Mario Cristobal.
I like him at UM.
All right.
Cristobal, and then he drafts Carson Beck. Boom.
No, Reuben Bain. Boom. Turn him into a quarterback. All right, real quick on the headlines because I want to have enough time with Perk.
Okay, Reuben Bain.
You know, I million-dollar question there. I think we came to play. I think there was, I think it was obvious in the first half that our team could play toe-to-toe, and we felt very good about our plan going in and the way guys came out. But the it's pretty simple. Like, you got a red zone turnover. You have a red zone turnover on downs. You have a backed up turnover and a missed field goal. And generally it's a bad omen to, very capable of being in the lead and, being behind, getting 6 points in the first half, with having, I think 2/3 time of possession, if I remember correctly, roughly. And, that's setting up for failure. And we're minus three, and they were 3 for 3 in the red zone, and we didn't score a touchdown. So there was elements of the football confidence, created last week. But the bottom line is you have to cross your T's and dot your I's in the National Football League, or you get made pay. So it's a very, very disappointing, and unfortunately, we're gonna have to sit on that disappointment for 10 days. I know the locker room would like to go play another Thursday night game in 4 days to get this bad taste out of their mouth, but these are the things that will constantly occur in the National Football League. You won't like the results if you have those major elements minus in the red zone and minus in turnovers. It's going to be a long day.
And that is what losers do right there, that kind of football. And it's what the Miami Dolphins have been doing all season long. So don't be surprised on what happened. The little teaser and the same things. And this team is, it's not going to change. It's 2-7. (laughs) 226 yards of offense in the first half. And around it and around all that going up and down the field, mistake after mistake after mistake, turnovers, fumbles, penalties, guys don't line up properly, quarterback throws at one place, receivers another, get in the red zone and act like – it actually been a really good red zone team, but you act like you've never seen it before. And so you're just – stat-wise – so you got 226 yards at the half, and out of that you had 2 field goals, and you look at the Ravens at the half, and you're going, my God, they can't play any worse. The Ravens in the first half, they went on to win. As we've heard the story before, they went 28-6. They clobbered the Dolphins. Really, game was over in the third. How many times have we said that? Game over in the third. Ravens 4 first downs, 0-for-4 on third down. 109 total yards. 109 total yards. All these things. And Derrick Henry, 9 carries, 30 yards, 3.3 yard average. I mean, they're great numbers. You're going, wow. We must be killing these guys. And no, because of every mistake you can make to lose a football game, the Miami Dolphins, with those great numbers offensively in the first half, made every mistake possible. Here's the new thing. Guy stands up and guys come in and rip the ball out of your hands. Boy, that's amazing. Never seen that before, Taj Washington. Amazing. Never seen that. Go for the extra yard. You got the first down. And one guy comes in and makes a tackle and 2 other guys. By the way, every team in the NFL works on this. Rips it out. Couple times. The Washingtons both had one get ripped out last night. So you have all that, and I'm at a point, I don't even listen. I listened to Mike, and I had to turn it off. I was like, I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear it. There's nothing else you can say.
At least he got fired up last night.
Yeah, he did, actually.
For the first time
He did get fired up. But
man, they had some momentum going in that first half, didn't they?
Oh, my God.
It felt like they picked up where they left off. And
they, once again, this is not the first time.
Yeah.
They've had some of the worst third quarters. I don't know what they do at halftime. Seriously. I don't know which leader in there stands up. Maybe the coaches, they're all good friends. They go, who wants to talk at half, man? Who wants to talk at half? Because we're not going to show up in the second half on either side of the ball. So what are we doing here?
In fairness to the Dolphins, Baltimore got healthy, and they looked like Baltimore last night.
They did look.
So in fairness, but again, the Dolphins made every possible mistake to shoot themselves in the foot, and you just cannot do that against a team of that caliber.
Had a chance to jump out on them early.
They really did.
And they didn't do it, and you're like, okay, Ravens get the ball, start second half. I don't know, but they got their act together because their numbers in the second half were ridiculous. Went back to what they wanted to do, made some adjustments. One of them, by the way, is the big decision. Derrick Henry got to make a big decision.
Boy, did
started
he look
pitching
good
it out,
yeah.
Pitched the ball out, or he was jumping out, starting inside and jumped outside. So they stuffed up pretty much between the tackles the whole game, and then he had his big runs bouncing out or on wide sweeps or pitches to the outside, and we're able to go from there.
But Joe, if you could sum up the Dolphins' season in a sequence of plays, it's the offside or the false start and then the missed field goal, right? That would sum up basically what this entire season has been like, and that was just – and that was so unbelievably deflating. And then to miss the chip shot field goal.
Fourth. Like, well, listen,
it's just brutal,
take
man.
It back to where you were. Fourth and one.
Yeah.
Well, like 12-yard line. Fourth and one. You jump off sides, and then now it's fourth and six. So instead of going for it on fourth and one, they're going for it. Have to. I mean, why are you not being aggressive? You're 2-6. Now you're 2-7. And so they back it up, so they bring in the kicker, and he misses an extra point. It was 30-something yard field goal.
Yeah, it was a chippy, man.
And so he misses that, and you're right, Woody.
Joe, was a one-score game, though,
you marched down, and by the
isn't
way.
That crazy?
How many opportunities you have great field position and got nothing? How many times it returns?
Mm-hmm.
Guy kicks one of the worst kickoffs I've ever seen, about 25 yards short. The guy catches it in stride. Our guy runs down the sideline and go, hey, man, you get three out of that. You're playing on a half a field and you can't get better than a field goal.
They made every mistake humanly possible in that game. And again, the fact that was a one-score game, it has like just absolutely mind-blowing.
The Miami mistakes, that's what they are.
Just mind-blowing that they were in that game. But in the second half, it settled in who the better team was.
Here's a little more reality of what happened. There had to be, Woody, 30,000 Ravens fans.
It sounded bad on TV, man.
Well, I'm just telling
you what was going on
out
there.
I couldn't see above me. That was the visiting side was they might have matched, if not more, Raven fans at that game than Dolphin fans. There's a few empty seats for Dolphin fans. The Boo Birds were out for the Dolphin fans.
Those were loud.
And the cheering was for the Ravens and their game, whatever they do. And, of course, they got star power all over the place. They've got a bunch of really – and we've said this about the Ravens. They know how to draft. Ozzie and whoever's the GM now, and I hear Ozzie's still really involved. Ozzie Newsome might be the greatest GM of all time. He not only hits on first rounds, they become Hall of Famers. He's got from Zay Flowers. You can just go through the list of guys that they have, 7 or 8 first-round picks on that team right now that are their guys. Lamar Jackson, obviously, and the Broward connection last night. Lamar to Zay Flowers, pretty strong. Broward guys last night coming back home. And it's just
the other part to that fan thing last night, Joe, is a very embarrassing night from everything they showed on TV. Fans wearing bags over their heads.
Yeah, I saw that, man.
Everyone leaving early.
Like, I get it, man.
It was a very embarrassing night. And the owner was there, Joe, because they showed him about 20 times on the screen last night.
He goes every game. He was
front and center last night, so he saw everything.
You know, everybody asked, like, hey, what are you going to do, Stephen Ross? This is not your son-in-law. This is not Tom Garfinkel. This is what are you going to do, man? You saw it. You score. You come back home. You thought you had a little something. Your fan base going, well, you know, I mean, the positive ones are going, that Atlanta thing, that might be a start, you know, and they beat Buffalo and all, bup, and you go out there and you just, again, a home game. Your fans don't pay for games on the road. They pay a lot of money to get those tickets at home, and you give them two field goals. You give them two field goals, and there were fundamental mistakes that you can't make in high school. High school kids do a better job than what we saw in that game last night with the amount of mistakes. that took place. Hey, listen, man, I don't know. Jimmy and I disagreed on the tripping call that was called on Gordon. I don't know what you thought, Woody, but it called either way.
What was the disagreement? What did you think?
I didn't think it was.
Well, it wasn't close. I don't think.
You thought it was?
No, and they even
Jimmy thought it was a tripping call.
Well, so here's the problem. Here's a problem that I believe the NFL has. I think you agree with me on this. They have guys in the booth that have been officials their entire lives, right? And they're able to second guess the calls. And the guy, I don't know.
What did the guy say on TV?
He got on there and he said that is absolutely the wrong call.
Okay. And well, that's what I wanted to know.
Rough look. The problem is it's a rough look for the officials because it's happening.
Well, they don't
quick.
Want trip. Guys
the guy
do.
Rolling low.
His
I
leg
get
is
how
up.
He could have seen it.
His
yeah.
leg's up.
So I get
gotcha.
What they're seeing. But there has to be a way to get these things yeah. right.
Well, it's a 37-yard play. Waddle puts an absolutely great move on the corner and runs by him. I mean, runs by him.
He played well. He was a bright spot.
He was. And so he did. You know, you got Mike did. Listen, Mike did make some great calls last night. And you know, maybe Mike ought to just kind of just be the play caller and just do that part because he had some good stuff. But I don't know what they do at half. Boy, I'll tell you what, man, this is not the first time that happened. It happened in the Charger game. We went dead in the third before the wake-up in the fourth. I don't know what they do at half. I'm dead serious, man. Do they sit around and have leadership meetings? I don't know what they do because I don't know how you come out and you look that bad and get dominated that badly in the third quarter. I don't know.
Again, and I hate to do this morning, but I think this is more about what Baltimore did and Baltimore looking like Baltimore again. And our expectations for the Dolphins were just way too high going into this game, right? I think you were sold a lot of fool's gold from that Atlanta game, and the Dolphins are just not, they're just not on that level, Joe. They hung in the first half, but they're not on that level.
I know, Woody, but they beat them up stat-wise in the first. I mean,
I know they did, but
I'm just saying you don't do that.
Baltimore got healthy in the second half.
Well, they did. They came out, and Lamar ran. I thought the one run Lamar made kind of got him going, too. He finally took off. He didn't look like he really wanted to run. He had some opportunities.
But you can't do that against him, right? And they showed it. They showed it on the replay. Like they blitzed the linebacker, and the entire left side of the field is open because there's no one there.
Right.
You can't do that.
Right.
Like that's a huge mistake.
I think he still doesn't look – I mean, he took off and ran. He looked fast when he took off, but it looks like he's a little concerned about popping his hamstring again or something because he wasn't looking to run, man. He was looking to get the ball. His tight ends, obviously, as a group, had another big game, which we've seen before with Mark Andrews and Isaiah Likely. Those guys had some big catches. It's just – and by the way, no urgency in the fourth quarter. I mean, you're down – and you guys, you're acting like you got like the full half of football left. I'm like, it's just, it's incredible. And by the way, I don't know what they showed on TV because, again, I missed some of the stuff. But Ollie Gordon after the tripping call and Mike after the fourth and one turned into fourth and five, they were going at it pretty good, man, with the coaches. So you could feel that this stuff is – starting to get to guys and coaches all of a sudden are going, hey, man, we're not going to tolerate. We see mistakes. We're going to jump your ass. And it happened. But it's just it's a bad football team. Hey, by the way, I don't even know how much talent we have. I mean, you want to get back to the Chris Greer part of this? I don't know how much we have. What do you think, Woody? I mean,
I think, Joe, the Atlanta game was –
No, I don't
it
care
was just
about
a big
the
pile
Atlanta
of fool's gold.
Yeah,
I don't
yeah,
think
was.
They're very. I don't think they're a very good team. I
just look around and I see NFL guys, but I don't see what that team's got.
They're an incredibly flawed team.
That team's got two first round safeties that are really good players. They got some first round picks they've had on that team. Like I said, seven or eight first round picks that are their guys, not somebody else's first round.
Dolphins
pick
don't have a guy like Kyle Hamilton here.
No, Kyle Hamilton is.
He was all over the place. Then the thing with Henry at the end, you know, late in the game, and he's just, you know, guys just didn't want any part of that, which I don't blame him.
Oh, he hit somebody early in the game, and I don't know if it was Jalen Phillips or somebody got up, and they were hurting, man. You could just see, like, damn, I know nothing's broken, But damn, that hurt.
And he never, you know what's interesting about Henry, too, is he never seems to break down. Like, it never seems to bother him. He just goes like a battering ram in there.
You know what? Like, when
never
other
seems to,
yeah.
to get, he's by never slow getting up. Like,
you know, I think he's one of the most amazing guys. For first of all, he's been in the league for a while now, and his numbers keep going up. I mean, he's going to be top everything here in running back numbers. But second of all, he had a zillion carries. Like, Nick Saban, like, abused him as in carries. If you go back and look, when he was at Alabama, and they had great teams, and I get it, man. Nick, I'd have done the same damn thing. That's my ticket, man.
It's just a well-built team, right? You got those tight ends, you know, that are weapons. You got, you know, Flowers on the outside.
How about a 300-pound fullback, Ricard? Yeah.
But they also have that other running back, Joe, who's fast, that they use on a couple of screens.
Yeah,
on,
Mitchell.
You know, yeah.
Yeah, like, no, Keaton Mitchell.
They have a nice team.
They got a nice combination of guys, but hey, the big decision, they call them, right? You got to make a decision how hard you want to try to.
You know, it's crazy. They still they run those odds or whatever that, you know, that they have to win the division. They still had Baltimore winning the division.
I saw that last night. That's
crazy.
On
those numbers they put up there.
All right, Woody. Hey, we're going to go to
it's Halloween here. Though, man. So that's good.
It is Halloween. Thank you. Halloween on no sleep.
Get you some chocolate.
What a great Friday this is going to be.
Big nap. And you get after it tonight,
Woody,
all right?
Woody. Yeah. I don't really care today about all the format stuff, but I'm in a pissy mood. But guys waiting and been drinking right outside as soon as I came out. And I waited a while. Let the Raven fans clear out a little bit. I come out. Some guy started up, man. And you know when a guy's drinking? And I realize you're not drinking, and he's been drinking for – he probably caught a couple, you know, before the game and a couple during the game. And they went, you know, he threw Jimmy in there a little bit, and I was on my way to the restroom, and I just went, yeah, and I was like, oh. You know what? They had to make Mike and those guys have to walk out and face their fans, walk out in the normal parking lot and walk through, let them park out there. They had to give their parking spots up and let them park out with the fans.
But they let you park in that lot so you don't have to face people after the game.
Yeah, we get
like
to
it's your fault, like you played in the game, you know?
Yeah. Hey, it's truck month, Woody. I do have some good news.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
The details behind the Diddy indictment. Taylor Swift's stalkers. Jerry Lee trying to kill Elvis. Disgraceland dives into the dark side of entertainment every Tuesday. Follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.